321. So we have hymn books and packets, but this one is just in the hymn book, so kind of squeeze and share. So stand on up.
You got options.
This one is called Nothing Between.
I understand.
Hello, Amelia.
I'm glad you have her name.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hope you're feeling better. We miss you.
All right, Nothing Between. This might be new for some of you, but just follow along. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's elusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between, like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing betweening many hard trials. Though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. All right, good Sam. Logan, which one did you suggest?
258.
He Hideth My Soul?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that one. 258, He Hideth My Soul. That's a good one. All right, here we go.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, he taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported our eyes to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
All right. Let's do 300 and... Which one is it? We'll do 370. Count your blessings.
Unpopular pick.
Go over a different one. I don't remember how this one starts. I thought I did. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
When I found my pillows, you were tempted to toss. When you are discouraged, thinking of your all is lost.
Count many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
All right, let's do one more. You guys have one? Any suggestions?
Child of the King.
Okay.
You like that
one? Yeah, that's a good one. Do you know which one, what number that is?
I'm looking here.
279.
279.
I'm going to call it. Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
I know. You know what arthritis.
All right, here we go. Child of the King. My father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King,
a child of the King.
With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered o'er earth as the poorest of them, but now he is reigning forever on high, and will give me a home in heaven by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may see all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. All right, good singing. Everyone have a seat. I will have Olivia come up. We can do our devotion.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sure all of you know. Well, I'm Olivia. So today I'm going to do my devotion about our thoughts. So first are our thoughts glorifying to the Lord. And so let's turn to Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Okay. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So the Bible definition of meditation is continued thought. And actually, most of our time is just spent giving continued thought on ourselves. But what does God think about, like, what we're thinking about? And do we consider how he feels about us thinking about ourselves all the time and not him? And are we only thinking about God during, like, church and Bible time? And a lot of times people will turn to God when, like, something bad goes wrong. But we should always be thinking about God and not just during those specific times. So another reason that we need to guard our thoughts is because they affect our words and actions towards other people. And in order to have the right thoughts, we have to have the right heart attitude. And if we don't have the right heart attitude, then we need to make sure to fix it so then we can have those right thoughts. And also our thoughts and hearts affect our emotion. Our heart attitude affects our emotions. So it just kind of like affects everything with our heart attitude and then our thoughts and then our actions. So second are my thoughts making me not content with what I have right now. So let's turn to Ecclesiastes 6 verse 9. It says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So our thoughts can take us to a lot of places that we don't need to go. And this verse talks about the vanity of covetousness, which is desiring what we don't have and like things that we think we should have. But instead of thinking about those things, we should be thankful and content with what we do have. And there's two meanings to the word content. There's content, like being satisfied, or there's content, like TV, social media posts, things like that. So when the world feeds us content, we think about, or we think that we need more and we should be more, and we have a wandering desires for those things that we see on that content. So, and it causes us to not see what we have directly in front of us, and that's why we need to guard our thoughts so that it doesn't take away from our thankfulness and contentment. Because the Lord has given us so much, but when we see those things in the world, we kind of, our mind kind of goes blank and we forget that and don't realize how much we truly have. So after talking about what bad thoughts can do, I want to talk about what things we should be thinking about. So let's turn to Philippians 4 verse 8. Okay, so it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, again, like, what things should we be thinking on? And I want to talk about this because we do have a choice of what we think about. It's not like, you know, we are stuck thinking about something. We can always just change what we're thinking about. So, and we want to think about things that please and honor the Lord, because Jeremiah 6:19 tells us that we get the fruit of our thoughts, so kind of like going back to earlier, it kind of has an effect on everything. And in order to please and honor the Lord with our thoughts, we need to think about the things that were listed in this verse, so it can kind of go like it, like as a checklist, like is this, you know, go according to this. So think about Jesus Christ, he's definitely all those things, he's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, and praise. So, it's not like we can, like, those other things, like, for example, politics or sports or just anything like that can't ever cross our minds, but we just can't be dwelling on them and getting fixated over that and, like, can't let those little things ruin your day. And the most important thing that should be on our mind is Jesus Christ and, like, and what he did for us and his word. And that's all I have.
I'm also going to talk about that verse at some point and like say literally like word for word what she said a couple times, so there's that. Okay, so I think I've met everybody here. I already know that. So, I'm Addy, as you all know. He already said I'm going over the Sound Minds and Sound Words part of our 7 series. So, we started off with Sound Doctrine with Taylor, and he talked about what it is, how it affects our lives, and the importance of it. So, so now we're going to move on to Sound Mind and Sound Words. So, I'll have somebody pray. Dylan, do you want to pray?
Yes. Lord, we thank you for this day and just this time, Lord, to get together and have some fellowship and just hear some of your word, Lord. I just pray that you bless this message that you've laid on Addie's heart, Lord. Just pray that we're open to receive it and just have it be a blessing in our life. And just pray for safety over the night. And again, just like Caleb said, that everything we do, Lord, goes back to you and honors and glorifies you, Lord. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Okay, so like I said, I'm going to talk about sound mind and sound words. So just to preface this, I was walking around a hospital for like 4 hours in a visor talking to salty old people. So if I'm a little tired, that's probably why, but I'm excited. So I'll start off with defining the word sound, which Taylor did already, but it means like unbroken, grounded. I'm going to move this because I feel like I'm knocking over. Unbroken, grounded, and doesn't stutter. So very solid. So starting off with sound mind, we're going to talk about like a grounded mind and what that means for us and what the Bible says about it. So our definitive verse is going to be 2 Timothy 1:7, which I'm actually there. Oh, so that's my notes there. It's fine there. And I'll go ahead and read that verse. It says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So that right there is going to be a deliberate mention of sound mind. So right off the bat, we know that it's the opposite of fear in the sense of, like, being afraid. Because there's also fear in the Lord, but that's a whole other concept that we're not going to get into. But it's the opposite of, like, being afraid and being scared. So back to that definition of sound being grounded. A grounded mindset isn't going to be one that is run by changing emotions, but it's going to be one that's solid and consistent. So if you think about, like, a solid, like, a sturdy house, it's founded on a foundation. And a house is built to endure through storms and things. It's not going to wobble and collapse, hopefully, if there's a tornado. Or that's the goal. That's kind of the point of a house. So I have a story soon about a house that was not sturdy, but that'll be later. But just thinking about, like, a solid and sturdy house, we want our mind to also be solid and sturdy. So, yeah, if you think about a grounded mindset, though, it's really what a lot of people are after today, or pretty much everybody's after today. And just like a few examples I have of this in my own life, I know that a lot of people around me are suddenly getting into crystals. And I'm not attacking crystals if you have them. But, like, I know a lot of girls that I know will talk about how they, like, get rid of the anxiety in their life. And they get all these new crystals to, like, get rid of the negative energy and whatever, all those things. And they're, like so firm in this. Like, they will talk about how they got, like, Moldavite last week, and then now suddenly they're just, like, a whole new person and things like that. So they're using crystals right now. I'm sure there's other things. But right now, crystals is, like, a big thing that people are using to try to get a grounded mindset. But we know from the Bible that it says the Lord has given us the spirit, not the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, and he didn't give us crystals. Or, like, he didn't give us crystals to do that. He gave us his word. So just for one example, we also know about, like, therapy. People go to therapists all the time just to, like, weed through their mindsets and fix problems and things like that and to try to get a more grounded mind. But, again, the Lord says we can have it through his word. And then also, on a more extreme note, there's, like, drugs and alcohol that people turn to. And we obviously know that that doesn't help anybody get a more sound mind. So the Lord says that we can have it and that he gave us the ability to have a sound mind. So he didn't do this with drugs or alcohol or crystals, but with his word. So that's what I want to get into. So one of the verses that comes to mind, at least for me, thinking about, like, a sound mind or, like, having peace is Isaiah 26:3. And I'll turn there, but you don't have to if you don't want to. So this verse talks about having perfect peace, and it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So it's that trust in the Lord that's going to help us have that perfect peace, and it's that our mind staying on him that will give us that perfect peace. So that's just I feel like that's a really important verse that just really clearly lays out how we can have that peace that people are looking for through so many other things. So just a quick, like, kind of personal example about, like, how we can, or, like, how the world, like, can see that peace and that difference in us. I know that, I don't know if you've heard of, like, the Google Forms challenge on TikTok at all, but, it, like, people do it with their friend groups, and it's, like, a multiple choice of, like, people's everybody's names, and then it'll just be like funniest, most loud, things like that, and then you like everybody votes, and then you have to go through it. It's a whole thing on TikTok. So I did that with my dance team like a couple weeks ago, and some of the questions were like least emotional, most emotional, least dramatic, those things. And the only two that I got voted for were least dramatic and least emotional. And it's not because I'm like special, but it's because of Psalm 119:165. And like, I'll just read that verse really quick. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So it's because I have that principle that I'm like, I just don't really get offended because I have that principle that I can think on, and so I don't have to get involved in the drama, and like the world sees that. But I'm able to have like a sound mind through those situations because of the principles, and that was just an example of that. So even when like people are panicking at competitions or like drama's going on, and girls are so dramatic. I'm sure you know that, but especially at dance competitions, it's just there's so many emotions and there's so much going on. And yeah, Amy knows. So it's a lot, but I'm able to like have that peace and not have to like get swept up and be so like emotional and like unstable like a lot of people are. So, but it's because of the principles, not because I'm anything special. So ultimately what you're mindful of is what's going to control you. So what you're mindful of will dictate what kind of mind you have. So if we're mindful of sound things, then we'll have a sound mind. So in prepping for this lesson, I literally went in my, like, Bible app or, like, a concordance, but I used the app, and searched, like, mind. And there's a lot of times that it's mentioned, but I just listed out, like, 17 of the very distinct, like, defined different kinds of minds throughout the Bible. So I'm going to start listing out just the references for, like, the types of minds we don't want, and then I'll switch to the good ones. So starting over in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20, we won't turn to these because there's 17 references, so that'd take a long time. But Daniel 5:20 talks about Nebuchadnezzar's heart being hardened in pride. So, a hardened in pride heart. Or, yeah. I meant mind. Sound mind, not heart. And then Luke 12:28-29 talks about a doubtful mind. Romans 1:28 has a reprobate mind. Romans 8:6 has a carnal mind. Second Corinthians 3:14 has a blinded mind. Second Corinthians 11:3 has a corrupted mind. Is this a good pace? Okay, good. Colossians 2:18 has a fleshly mind. Titus 1:15 has a defiled mind. And then James 1:8 has like a double mind or like a double-minded man. So those are all bad types of minds. We don't want any of those in our lives. If you didn't know that already, obviously you don't want your mind to be blinded. So then moving into the good ones, Romans 8:6 talks about spiritual minds. 2 Corinthians 7:7 has a fervent mind. 2 Corinthians 8:19 has a ready mind. Titus 2:6 has a sober mind. 2 Peter 3:1 has a pure mind. Revelation 17:9 has a mind with wisdom. And then 2 Corinthians 8:19 talks about a willing mind. I purposely put one at the end, even though the rest were in, like, chronological order throughout the books, or at least they should have been. But all it takes is a willing mind to have a sound mind. So all it takes is that willing heart attitude to ultimately get that sound mind. And I just wanted to make sure that was clear, and I'll get into that more later. So the reason why I listed all those things out is because you can clearly see that the Lord talks about minds all the time. And there's obviously more mentions than that even there. But right there are 17 different mentions of minds that the Lord deliberately put in there. And we don't have to turn there now, but Proverbs 30 verse 5 talks about how every word of the Lord is pure. So that's every single word in there that the Lord deliberately put in there. And he deliberately put all those mentions of mind. So I just wanted to show how important the Lord is to the Lord, obviously, if he's going to talk that much about it when he has like the ultimately limited amount of words in the Bible. So continuing through sound mind, we're always minded in a certain way. And whatever that way is up to me. But we're never just not minded. I feel like it's easy to think that way. Like, oh, well, I mean, I just went to school today. But like you always have some type of mind, whether it's sound or any of the other ones that I listed. So just some examples in the Bible of people who had sound minds. First, I'm going to start with a story that's not in the Bible, but just is a good like picture of what it looks like to have a sound mind. I think most of you would know my friend Taylor, or maybe I've like heard her reference or something, but since I was maybe like 10, we've been going to her like extended family's reunion type of trip up in like Wisconsin, and they all rent out like a cabin, but it's been like different cabins most of the years. And so this one year, I think I was like 13-ish or like 12. I was 13 because it was like for my first camp. We stayed at this house called the Tritch House, and I forgot to look up when it was built, but it was like really old, like probably like early 1800s, I would guess. But it's like was not really sturdy. It was really gross, and like everything was super old fashioned and creaky, and like it was not good. And it was on this hill, and it was like everything shook, and like every time you stepped, the whole house would shake. It was terrible. So while we were there, this was in July, and so obviously there were like storms. And there happened to be, like, a tornado warning, and I've never really liked storms, but I especially did not like storms before I was saved or anything, because I was like, well, I guess if I die here, that's just it, like, that's the end for me. But, there was this huge storm, and we were having, like, some type of birthday festivity for one of our cousins, who I didn't even know, and, like, a window frame, like, fell out of the wall, and, like, all the lights were flickering. And I know there was one point where all the lights turned off and like all of us like screamed, and I literally thought I was going to die in Minnesota, like away from, or Wisconsin, one of those states. And I was like away from my parents, and I just, yeah, that was just the end for me, at least I thought. But I remember all the lights turned off for like a little bit longer than just like flickering. And then they came back on, and her uncle Larry, which his name's irrelevant, but that's his name. I remember looking across the table, and he was like just sitting like this. Like, the whole time, everyone was, like, screaming and freaking out, and he was just, like, just hanging out, like, nothing was going on. And that's what it should be like for us, with, like, all the changing things in the world and all the crazy things going on and the storms. We should be able to have that same peace. So, yeah, that's just an example, and an example that's very similar in Mark chapter 4 is actually with Christ. So, I'm going to read verses 37 through 41. So, this is Christ with the disciples. And starting in verse 37 of Mark chapter 4, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, he being Christ, asleep on a pillow. And they, the disciples, awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them," Christ said unto the disciples, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of wind is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So I think this story is kind of self-explanatory, but you can see in verse 37, there's a huge storm, waves are coming into the ship, so not only is it like flying everywhere because all the big waves, like water's coming into the ship, which is not what you want for a ship. So I don't even know, like, I hate storms on the land most of the time, so I can't imagine being in the middle of the ocean while all these waves are coming like into the ship, like, because you can't just pick it up, like, you can't just swim. I don't know. So there's a lot less ways out of it. So very scary situation, and the disciples are freaking out, and it says Christ is literally asleep. So, like, all this is going on, and Christ is literally asleep on a pillow. So they wake him up, and they're like, Lord, are you really going to, like, let us all die out here right now? And he is basically like, you guys. Like, he stops the whole thing. And then he's like, you guys, why are you so afraid? I'm literally right here. So basically, the disciples forgot who had the power over all of the waves in the ship. And that's kind of the same thing that happens to us a lot of the time. But it's obvious that Christ had a sound mind through that whole thing, because he was able to sleep no matter what was going on. And we can rest in the Lord just like that when everything else is going on, like the crazy things in our own world right now. So it's kind of similar to Larry with the storm, sort of. They kind of connect. But just like Christ had that peace, we can have that peace too through having a sound mind. So then my next example is going to be over in Daniel. We don't have to turn there, but I have two references in Daniel, just like two stories. So I'm sure everybody's kind of familiar with Daniel and like the things that he did. I feel like those are pretty common stories, and I know we've gone over some of them in Delta. But we know, first of all, like the fiery furnace, when Daniel, basically, common theme of Daniel is he's doing things for the Lord and people are not happy about it and then put him in bad situations. So this first one's the fiery furnace. So him and his friends refuse to bow to this, like, false god that the king set up. And this is the king, too, which I feel like, I can't grasp how, like, intimidating that is, because, like, the king. This wasn't just, like, a random person, but this is, like, the whole king of the whole thing. So, yeah. The whole king. The king set up this false god, this false image, and wanted everybody to bow to it, and, like, instead of the Lord, and they refused to. And so then he wants to throw them in this big thing of fire, and basically they're like, I mean, okay, I guess, like, we're not going to bow, so if that's what you want to do to us, then the Lord's either going to pull us out or we're going to die in the fire, but whatever the Lord's going to do with us, we're going to go, like, we're not bowing to that image. And we know that it turns out fine. Christ is in there with them. It's a cool story. But ultimately, like, Daniel and his friends were able to have that sound mind and be content with being thrown into a fiery furnace, because they trusted that the Lord would have his way with it. And they remembered who had that control, unlike the disciples did. And then another example in Daniel is in chapter 6 with the lion's den. Very similar kind of situation, except now with lions instead of a storm. Or not a storm, fire. So basically, I keep saying the word basically, but so Daniel is trying to serve the Lord again. Somebody's not happy about it, so they put him in the lion's den, and Daniel is literally just like hanging out with the lions, and then the king is like, feels bad about it and is like pacing, like freaking out, like trying to fix it. So in that situation too, like, Daniel had a sound mind even being in like a den of lions, but the king, who wasn't even in there, did not have a sound mind. And so Daniel had that grounded mindset because he saw God's hand in it. And so we can too, as I will continue to go through. And then another example from the Bible is Job, especially in verse 13-15. And we don't have to turn there either, but it's when he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So again, I think the story of Job is like pretty common, and I know we've gone through it in Delta. Well, actually, I went through in Delta, so I hope you know it. But Job loses like everything that you could ever lose. He loses his family. His wife is still alive, but she's not a help at all. And he loses like his livestock, so all like of his belongings and his riches and his house and like literally everything in his health. And even through all of that, losing all of those things, that's what his response is. Even though the Lord's going to do this to me, I'm still going to trust him. So Job understood that the Lord's hand was still in it, no matter what, and he didn't lose sight of that, and that's how he was able to keep a grounded mind. And then my last example is in Joshua 10, and I'll turn there. So I actually also went through Joshua and Delta like a while ago, but basically in Joshua they're constantly fighting battles. There's a lot of battles, very battle-y book, and the Lord's constantly telling them that they don't have to fear because of these battles, because the Lord's going to fight them for him, for them. So in verse 25 of Joshua chapter 10, Joshua is encouraging the men of Israel and like the people that are going to keep fighting these battles. And he's telling them that they don't have to fear. And it, well, it says, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." So this is Joshua talking to his people, saying, telling them they don't have to be scared or dismayed because the Lord's going to fight for them. But the reason why he was able to encourage them and tell them these things, and yeah, the reason why he knew that is because the Lord told him that in chapter 10, verse 8. And right there it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." So Joshua took those words that the Lord gave him, and that's why he was able to have a sound mind and then give it to other people. So we've talked a lot about just like what a sound mind is, a lot of different types of minds, some random stories about storms and things like that. But just, I want to make like a really practical breakdown of like how you can get a sound mind. Because it's great to listen to all those things, but if we can't really put it into our lives, then it doesn't necessarily do that much good. So I'm actually going to go to Philippians 4, which is where Olivia was talking about. Copycats. But so I'm not sure who all was there for that, but I think it was, I don't know if it was only over Zoom or if I was just on Zoom, but Jerry McClenahan went over just like anxiety essentially, one night, or for Delta, I think it was. And he talked about these verses and just like worry in our lives. So that's kind of where I'm pulling some of this from, just so you know, I guess. But I'll go ahead and read verses 7-9. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely," just like we just heard, "whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So Olivia already read that verse, but it's good to hear it again, especially with all the words. But basically, just like Olivia talked about, this gives us a checklist of what thoughts will allow us to have that peace and sound mind. Like verse 7, I feel like is a really clear verse about like the peace of God and how we get it through Christ Jesus. So we have this list of true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, and virtue and praise. So again, like Jared went through something. He went through this and listed off these things that like do or don't fit this checklist, which align really well with what Olivia said. So some things that don't are going to be politics and COVID. These things aren't necessarily true or pure or lovely. And obviously we have to think about politics and we have to think about COVID to some extent, but letting it be the only thing we think about and what like controls our minds and all of those things is not going to produce a sound mind in us. And again, just like Olivia said, the things that do are going to be Christ and his word. So those are the things that are going to give us that grounded mindset and that sound mind if we think more about them. So an unstable mind and like that worry and instability and ungroundedness, going back to our definition, is ultimately a result from one of two things. And I got this from Jared's message too. But it's a lack of thought control and a lack of faith in God. So one of those, if we have anxiety and like worry and just like aren't really, don't have a stable mindset, it's going to be a result of one of those two things. So if it's lack of control of your thoughts, that's something we can change. You just have to focus more on what you think about, which is not fun to do. I know I like really don't like trying to stop thinking about certain things because it's like makes things hard. Like you can't just like exist. So, but like ultimately that's what's going to produce a sound mind, which the Lord wants and gave us the ability to have. And then if it's a lack of faith in God that we're struggling with, again, all it takes is a willing mind to get a sound mind or for the Lord to do really anything in our lives. So if I'm working on having more faith, that's something I can talk to the Lord about. And he gave me the word of God to put my faith in and to be able to trust him better in all of those things. So, to be grounded, we want to have the opposite of the lack of thought control and the lack of faith in God. So I already talked about how we have to think about certain things to, like, make decisions about them, but we don't want those to be what control us. So, yes, thinking on those things that are listed in Philippians, and letting the Word of God work in our lives is what's, and applying the principles is what's going to produce a sound mind. So, transitioning over to sound words, they actually go very nicely hand in hand, and Olivia talked about already, like, how our thoughts are going to produce the type of mind we have, and that's going to produce the words that come out of our mouth. So, building off of that, with those examples that we talked about, like Joshua and Job and Larry and Christ, we know how these people thought because of what they said. So ultimately, there's power in those words. And that definitive verse on sound words is also going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, specifically verse 13. Okay, so that verse says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard in me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." So again, that's our deliberate mention of sound words. So I want to go over like two aspects of sound words, or just like two ways that they're important. So that's going to be the importance of the Lord's words, and then the importance of my own words. And our next subject is, or I don't know if it's the next one, but one coming up is going to be sound speech. So I'm going to try not to meander over too much into speech, but they kind of go hand in hand. So just that verse talks about sound words. And then John 6:63 is just another verse on the importance of words. I'll go ahead and read that. It says, "It is the spirit." So this is Christ talking. It says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So this is Jesus Christ, like the Lord, here on the earth talking. And he's talking about how the words that he's saying are spirit and life, which are obviously things that we want in our life. So the Lord obviously thinks they're important. And we know that the Lord's constantly working through words. Specifically in the Bible we have right here, like these are the words of God, and he makes it clear how important they are. And then over in Romans 10:14, I'll turn there, but you don't have to again. So the section from like verses 13 to about 16, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So I really want to focus on that little progression it has in 14 and 15. But in verse 13, it talks about how anybody who wants to get saved, who wants the Lord to save them, can do that. But then it moves on to say, like, well, how can these people get saved if they, how can they get saved if they don't believe in the Lord? And then how can they believe in the Lord if they've never heard of him? And then how can they hear of the Lord if nobody ever tells them about him? And then it goes on to say, like, how can they preach it if nobody sends them to preach it? So it's what they're hearing there between, like how can they believe without hearing it? It's they're hearing words, like, and I feel like I don't really think about that very often, about, like, I don't know, like, how can they hear? But what they're hearing is ultimately the words that they're saying. So words are obviously very important. It's those words being preached that get people saved, ultimately. And then Acts chapter 8, we don't have to go there, but with that story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch already had the words of God, which was our first point under sound words. But then Philip gets there, and Philip's words are what get him the gospel. So that's all words that the Lord was working through. And then parables and all the things that Christ said, those are all words. So words are obviously very important. And again, like, the Bible I have right here is made up of, like, words. So the Lord's constantly working through words. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, like I mentioned before, I'll go ahead and read that. So it's very, like, blatant verse, but I'll read verse 6 too. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So I already talked about how every word of God is pure. He put every single word in there for a reason. And then he also has kind of like a threat in verse 6 about what's going to happen if people change his word. And the Lord obviously cares a lot about it. If everything the Lord says is so important, like, he doesn't stutter. He doesn't, like, just say things and then be like, oh, sorry, I didn't actually mean that. Like, that doesn't happen with the Lord. So the Lord deliberately put all of these words in there, and they're so important. So, again, just with that verse, the Lord obviously cares a lot about his own words. And so we should, too. And not only that, but he cares about my words, too, and what's coming out of my mouth. So some verses on that. Psalm 36, 3. This verse talks about what we don't want our words to be like. And it says, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. So right there, it says the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. So, like, worthless, negative, like, not doing anything good, not productive. Or not productive in a good way, at least. So these are actually kind of harsh words about somebody, the words of someone's mouth. And again, just the Lord obviously cares about the things that we say too. And then, like I kind of talked about before and tying in what Olivia was talking about, like, having a sound mind and sound words and, like, ultimately sound thoughts, it all goes hand in hand because of Matthew 12:34, and we don't have to turn there, but it talks about how from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So the things that we think about are ultimately going to become the things, like, our mindset, and that's going to produce the words that we say. And we know that the things we think and, like, our minds and the words we say are obviously very important to the Lord and should be to us, too. So I kind of already brushed on, like, the importance of God's words in my own, but I also want to, like, break those down further. So starting with the importance of God's, we already talked about Proverbs 30, verse 5, and how they're pure. And then Psalm 119:89 talks about how they're eternal. 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about all the things that it's profitable for. First Corinthians 2:16 talks about how it's the mind of Christ. And then 1 John 1:1 talks about it being the word of life, which kind of ties in with John 6:63 with Christ talking about how his words are spirit and life. So over in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, I feel like these are pretty commonly used verses just to talk about the word of God and all that it does and how powerful it is. But I just want to break this down in a, like, again, like, in a practical sense for, like, how it matters for, like, my life. So and yours. So those verses, specifically verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So, kind of another list like we had in Philippians 4, it says it's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, and it discerns. So starting with quick, basically that term, most people probably know it isn't here, but it means basically to make something alive. Like, to quicken something is to make it alive, to make it live. So for me, what this means is I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and it's these words that ultimately made me alive. And then powerful means that it's not weak. It's not just like a flimsy, like, gray area type of thing. Like, it's very black and white. It's very, I don't want to say like aggressive, but it's like assertive. It's not unstable. And then sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Ultimately, it's what divided me from the sin that would have damned me to hell without getting into the whole doctrine of spiritual circumcision. But ultimately, it divided me from what would have caused me to have to go to hell. And then it discerns, which I feel like is kind of like the craziest one to try to like comprehend, but I know Bob always says, like, the Word of God is a supernatural book, and this is really, I mean, for a lot of reasons, but specifically, like, the fact that it reads you back while you're reading it, because the Lord knows, like, every single thing that you think, and, like, every hard attitude you have, and so while you're reading this book, it's reading you right back, and there are no secrets when it comes to the Lord. And all of these traits are talking about the Word of God that I have right here in my hand, and there are no sounder words that I could put into my life. And the Lord gave them to me for a reason. And if I put them in my life, then I can have a sound mind from the sound words. So like I said, what you're mindful of is what's going to control you. So if I'm mindful and thinking about sound words like the Word of God, then that will contribute to a sound mind in my life. So then some examples of sound words from God that produce a sound mind in the Word of God is going to be over in like Genesis, approximately like 12 through like 30-ish or like 25-ish, just with Abraham's life. We know in 15:1, the Lord and Abram are through that whole chapter, really. They're having like a conversation, and at the time his name was still Abram. So this was towards the beginning of like Abram and his walk with the Lord and all of the things that he did. But at this point, Abram didn't really have much faith. And then by Genesis 23, Abram was willing to sacrifice Isaac for the Lord, like his only son, that he wanted really badly too. Like, I don't know, I feel like people have kids all the time, but like he really wanted this kid too before that, because they, like Sarah was barren and stuff. But yeah, like that was, obviously sacrificing any child is a big sacrifice, but I don't know, it just matters to me that he really wanted them, I guess. But ultimately, Abram was able to go to the point that he did because he trusted those sound words. And that's what led him to see God's perspective instead of his own emotional one, and he had a grounded mindset. So there's a lot of people listed out in Hebrews chapter 11, but that just lays out a lot of people that had faith in the Lord and did and acted out of it. So it's like a Hall of Fame type of thing. But the reason that they had faith and did the things they did out of faith is because their minds were grounded in the sound words of the Lord. So specifically, I want to talk about Noah, and he's referenced in verse 7. But again, we all probably know the story about Noah and the ark and all the animals and the water, you know. But he was building this huge ark for like a rain that like the only reason he had to believe it was coming was because the Lord told him it was. And he didn't even know what rain was. Like, all these people had no idea. And nobody was, like, encouraging him to build it. Or, like, nobody else was freaking out about the rain coming or anything like that. But Noah believed what the Lord said and believed, understood how important that the Lord's words were. And that's ultimately what saved him and his family from the whole the whole thing that happened, you know, with the flood. So trusting those sound words really have effects in our lives. And just kind of a random, not random reference, but like personal reference to someone who really understands how important the words of God are is going to be Judy. And obviously I could say that about a lot of people, pretty much everybody in this room, but like when starting off this lesson, I was just like, oh, okay, like another lesson type. I don't know. I didn't really think a lot about like changes I would make from doing last ones or anything like that. But before I'd even started, she kind of sat me down and was like, okay, so we're going to get this together, but like we need to work on you talking slower. And I was like, you're right. I haven't really thought that much about it, I guess. I just kind of accepted that I talk really fast a lot of the time, and a lot of times people can't understand me, and they just happily nod along, and I was kind of okay with it. But she really addressed that, like, these are, like, the words of the Lord that we're talking about, and, like, you don't want people to, like, misunderstand or miss out on what you're talking about because it's so important, because it's, like, the words of the Lord. This isn't just, like, Chick-fil-A menu stuff. So, like, I don't know. I just, that's another thing that came to mind. But, yes, with the Lord's word, like, the Lord does not stutter. So, I kind of already talked about Chick-fil-A, but I could ramble about Chick-fil-A forever. I just became a Red member on the app, actually, if you're wondering, like, the other day. So, that was really exciting. But, literally, I could talk about, like, Chick-fil-A or, like, Parker, my niece, or, like, there's a lot of things I could talk about for a while and probably faster than I should be. But in comparison to, like, the eternal topics and the things that the Lord, like, that matter to him and things that he talks about in his word, like, my words are so meaningless so much of the time, especially when I'm talking about Chick-fil-A probably. But the Lord's words always have a meaning and a purpose. So they're just very important, and the Lord makes that very clear. So then moving on to the importance of my own words, like we've kind of talked about a little bit already, but there's ultimately power in individual words and what we speak. So we already talked about Acts chapter 8 and just the power that the Lord's word had in the eunuch's life and then Philip's. But also just thinking about like around us today, like whenever big things happen, the president's always up there making a speech about it. And just all the time otherwise. I don't know if things are always happening, but it seems like they're always making speeches. And then we have to take so many English classes, too, just, like, forever. Like, literally from kindergarten to all through college, there's so many English classes involved, like, every year. And it's, like, a core class, and that's words, ultimately. Like, whether you're reading them or writing them or speaking them, like, that's a large compilation of words. And then I think probably everybody has to take a speech class at least once in their lives. I know for us it's like oral comm at East. But literally that's at least a whole semester dedicated strictly or contemporary communications at Lux. But that's literally a whole semester dedicated to like constructing words in a way to portray like things a certain way or like whether it's like persuasive or like argumentative, things like that. Like, words are a very important part. Like, it's how we function is through words. So, obviously, the words that we say are going to be what separate us. Well, there should be a few things that separate us from the world, but ultimately, words are going to be a big part of it. So, 1 Thessalonians 2:4 just talks about what the Lord wants us to be talking about. When I first came across this verse, I think it, like, it's always just kind of stuck with me. But, like, it really changed my own perspective, at least, on, like, what I talk about, because it's just, I'll read it to you. So it says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." So right there it says we are put in trust with the gospel. And I guess I had never really thought about it that way, like, I would, like, the Lord trusted me with this gospel. Like, I have a responsibility to do something with it. And ultimately, it's going to be through, like it says there, like, speaking to people. Because I don't know how else, I mean, sign language, I guess. But, like, that's, like, the only way you can communicate. And, yeah, and it says right there that we should be speaking to please God and not ourselves and ultimately not other people either. So the Lord wants me to speak and tell people about what he did for me. And I'm supposed to please God with my words, not myself or anyone else. And what's going to please the Lord is his word, because the Lord loves his word, like we talked about quite a bit. But yeah, so we want our words to align with the word of God. And I literally, kind of same situation as when I went through like all the mind references, but I did the same thing with the word speak, and this is not anywhere near all of the times it's mentioned, but this is just like a short-ish list of the different ways that people are said to be like speaking throughout the Bible, specifically like 1 Corinthians on, it's for like the church books. So 1 Corinthians 2:6 talks about speaking wisdom. And then Ephesians 4:15 talks about speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:26 talks about speaking truth more in terms of like lying versus telling the truth. Ephesians 4:31 talks about evil speaking. Ephesians 5:19 talks about speaking hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs like Caleb led us tonight in. And then Ephesians 6:20 talks about speaking boldly. And along those same lines, Philippians 1:14 talks about speaking the word without fear. So if you miss any like references or anything, I have them so I can show you. But there's so many more. I just stopped there just to give like, just to show how many times the Lord really addresses the way that people speak, because it's obviously important to him. Just like, because every word of God is pure, like we talked about. So over in Titus 2:7 talks about a way we should be speaking, and it connects with Taylor's lesson on sound doctrine. It's 2:1, sorry, I think I said 7. So it's kind of a short and sweet verse, but it says, oh, I'll let you turn that here, Flippy.
What's the verse?
Titus 2:1. So as you can see, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And it goes on to have a lot of really good principles, but just specifically that verse right there says that we should be speaking the things that become sound doctrine. And those things are going to be what's in the Lord's words, like his principles and his promises. But Proverbs 4:23 says that our issues stem at the heart. So we don't want to focus on just changing the things we say and changing the outward action, because it's our heart, and like, it's not just the things that we do that really matter, especially if you think about like giving someone a gift. If you just get it for them just because like your mom told you to, or like you feel like you have to, then it really doesn't mean anything to anyone. Or like when you get a card and it just has like their name, like, you know, like they just like had to get it for you type of thing. Like that's not, it's not appreciated. It doesn't have the same like meaning, and it's not really worth as much. So same thing with the Lord. Like, he doesn't want us to just do things for him because we're probably supposed to, or because we think it's the right thing to do, but because we want to please the Lord, and because we love him and want to be something that like makes him happy to look at, and not something that he has to like, he hears the things we say and it's like, So, yeah, we don't want to focus on just changing what we say. We want to start at the heart, because that's where it's coming from. So ultimately, like, if you don't like the words that you're saying and you want them to be pleasing to the Lord, then it's going to start with the heart and the thoughts that we allow to like exist in our heads. And like Olivia said, we have control over that. It's not, we're not stuck with all the things we think about. Like, it's our decision whether or not we continue to think about the things that we do. So physically, we are what we eat. I feel like that's a big phrase. but also spiritually. So if, again, I've said this probably a few times, but if like we're feeding ourselves with sound words, then that's, or wait, sorry. If we're feeding our mind with sound words, then we'll have a sound mind. So if I want more sound words to come out of my mouth, I have to put them in first, and that's going to be from here. This is the only place that we can get those sound words from, is from the word of God. And that's not going to be through crystals or through drugs and alcohol. Like, that's not what the Lord provided for us to get a sound mind. It's these sound words that he gave for us. And then putting those sound words into our mind will help us have a sound mind and produce sound words. So it all goes together. But just some practical things that you can do in, like, our everyday lives, and that I know a lot of us do in our everyday lives, to work on producing those sound words in the long run. Obviously, it's going to start with thoughts and minds and, you know, the whole progression. But memorizing verses is a way to get more sound words in our lives. Obviously, reading the Word of God and studying it, that's going to help get more sound words in our lives. And listening to biblical preaching is going to help get more sound words in our lives. And that's not because of the person preaching or anything like that. It all ultimately is because it's biblical preaching. It all goes back to the Word of God that they're preaching. That's going to put more sound words and help us have that sound mind. And praying and talking to the Lord is always going to bring us closer to him. And like I said, it just takes that willing mind. Like, if we're willing to make the changes that need to get made or whatever it is, then, like, the Lord can do something with that. Like, the Lord is able. So in shorter terms, if you're willing, God's able. So that's kind of what I want to finish with, is just that, like, if we want to be something that pleases the Lord and have, like, a sound mind and sound words, it just takes that willingness to do the things that are going to produce that sound mind, and the Lord can do something with that. So that's all I have.
That is it. So, yes, we have snacks. Anything else? Okay. What is up next week or next month? So, May 14th. Yeah. All right. I'll close out in a word of prayer. So let's bow our heads. Lord, just thank you so much for everything Addie had to share with us. Thank you for giving her clear and slow speech to make us understand. And Lord, just thank you for your words. Help us to keep these things in mind, to have a sound mind. Just take your words that are the sound words, Lord, and translate them into our own lives, Lord. Just pray for a good weekend and just safe travels for everyone wherever we go. And again, just to honor and glorify you. Just thank you for just bring us here and pray for the fellowship tonight. Just encouraging one another and pray for those that were not able to make it tonight. Lord, just wherever they are, just bless them and pray that, just have them here with us here in spirit. And so, yes, just thank you for your word and ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.